escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And a very happy 4th of July Eve. It's a summer Thursday, but sort of a summer Friday before an awesome weekend known as 4th of July weekend. Welcome in to this edition of Evan and Tiki. We got a lot to get to. Looks like Mendy's lineup changed work, at least for one night. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Plus, T.J. Watt may be available should the Giants or Jets try to make a trade. So we'll get to some football later as well. But last night's Yankee game, there is one thing that jumps out at me more than anything else. And I think this is a major, major, major concern moving forward. And it's something I actually screamed about on the radio a lot, which is Aaron Judge is so good. He's so awesome. He's so dynamic that I wouldn't face him. I remember the last time the Subway Series started, I said it to Mendy. I said, do not face Aaron Judge. And he obviously disagreed with me, and they went after Aaron Judge and mostly had success. But what we saw for the first three games of this Toronto series is John Schneider saying, I won't let Aaron Judge beat me until he allowed him to beat him. It was odd to me because throughout this series, the first three games, Aaron Judge has now been intentionally walked four times. And in three of the four times, he was intentionally walked, Teak, in situations where you would never normally intentionally walk a human.
Right.
Runner on first, intentional walk, nobody on, intentional walk. And yet, last night, which allowed Judge, King Judge, to have the, I think I've already screwed up today.
Yes.
I think I'll allow that one.
Thank you. In the one moment where King Judge had a chance to kill them, he didn't intentionally walk them. But I think John Schneider's going to learn his lesson. And here's the really concerning part, Teague. I think every other manager is going to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
I think they're going to follow this script of not facing Aaron Judge.
Well, especially if the game gets tight. I mean, the Blue Jays ran out to a stupid lead on the Yankees, and it was 7-0 before you even could blink your eye.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it's like, all right, here come the Yankees. They creep their way back in, get a little bit going in the fifth inning, and then sixth inning comes around, everything is fine. Then you get Judge up in the eighth inning, and it's a one or two run game at this point. They got a little bit of insurance, and you get one out, Ben Rice walks. And Aaron Judge is sitting right there.
I was stunned he faced him. Just based on how Schneider's handled Judge this series.
Right.
I was stunned.
Right, because, I mean, think about what happened afterwards.
Right.
Bellinger struck out. Stanton walked again, but whatever. And then Jazz Chisholm, you know, he got a single and Goldschmidt ultimately grounded out. But face those guys, right? And I know it's maybe there's potentially a run, but Aaron Judge with one swing can tie the game.
And he did.
And it's exactly what he did.
In a weird way, I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound right off the surface, but when you think about it, it makes sense.
King Aaron Judge's two-run home run last night in the eighth inning, which was an epic moment.
By the way.
Yeah, you owe another dollar
yes.
to the little king chart we have here. We need to refer to him as king.
Sorry, getting excited about Aaron Judge at the king right now.
King Aaron Judge's game-tying two-run home run last night in the eighth inning was the worst thing that ever happened to the Yankees.
Hmm.
Because it is a reminder to every single manager, not just John Schneider who knows it, you can't face him.
Right.
And even in situations that feel weird, like if they had walked King Judge last night in the eighth inning, I know what the retort would be. You're going to put the tying run on base? Yeah. Yeah. I am.
Right.
I'm going to bring the winning run or the go-ahead run to the plate? Yeah, I am.
Right.
And Schneider has already shown it in the series that King Judge is so good that kind of gamble, which makes no sense with most other players.
So worth it.
So here's the reason I bring it up. This isn't Toronto Sports Talk Radio. This isn't what the Mets should do this weekend. It's a problem for the Yankees because we talk so much about third base. We talk so much about the bullpen, all these issues, defense, guys playing out of position. The ultimate issue I think this team has, and it's been an issue for years, but I think it can be exploited right now, is they need to protect this guy. Because if every manager follows John Schneider and Ron Washington, who I'm not even making this up, have supplied 45% of the intentional walks Aaron Judge has faced this year. Those two managers are me, basically.
Right.
They've realized we're not facing him. If everyone else starts to realize that, and now King Judge is being walked constantly, you guys have confidence Cody Bellinger is going to make him pay?
No, I don't. Now, if you get an inning like the fifth inning where everybody is starting to tee off on Jose Barrios. Then maybe you can trust those guys. But for the most part, if Aaron Judge is the guy that is there to tie the game or take the lead, don't pitch to him. It is as simple as that. You mentioned the guys that don't, Ron Washington being one, who's now on a leave of absence, medical leave of absence,
yeah.
I believe it is.
Yes.
But, I mean, he and Judge even tipped his cap. We remember that series. He tipped his cap to him, understanding the gamemanship that was going on there. But the reality is this will make, when teams start doing this more often, because you're right, Evan, it is going to happen. It's going to make Aaron Boone have to now make lineup decisions that protect Judge in different ways that he hasn't done before. Now, the other thing that I take away from this game is that Jason Dominguez should have been playing a long time ago.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
But that's another story. We'll get to it eventually. But my point with Aaron Boone is that he's got to find a way to make teams pay for what they're ultimately about to do to Aaron Judge.
The easiest thing to do is to go out and get someone to protect him.
But now, who is that?
Well, I mentioned a name yesterday, and tell me if you think this would serve as fair protection.
Go
that's
ahead.
Corey Seager, if they were willing to absorb that contract from Texas.
But I don't think that's going to happen. It's too big of a number.
Well, but
over
that,
the next, what, 6 years, you said? I forget the years
that
are left.
That's the problem. Like, yes, the Yankees can easily make a move that improves their lineup. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't take much to upgrade over DJ LeMahieu. But what I'm talking about is bigger. What I'm talking about is there someone you could acquire that will cause managers to think twice about not facing King Aaron Judge? And the answer is there aren't many guys like that. And the guys that are like that probably make a lot of money.
I mean, right. No, you're right.
They're not cheap. So, yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't even know if it is a Corey Seager type or a Nolan Arenado or Suarez. I just think you need somebody who is going to consistently get hits. So it doesn't need to be this massive threat, this star in the making or star that's previously been made. You don't need that. You just need someone who's going to get Judge to advance, right? And put him in a scoring position and potentially drive in the runs that are on before him. So it's not the star. It's just someone who you can count on to get the hit. Now, interestingly, I've done a bunch of statistical analysis, Evan, because of... You asked me to do this back when Jazz Chisholm was hitting behind.
Well, the reason I asked you real quick was because since the beginning of this season, one of my issues with this lineup was this, which is who the hell's protecting this godly baseball player?
Right.
Like, why would managers ever face him? And for the most part, managers have faced him. John Schneider, Ron Washington have been the exception. And I do think that this series is a watershed moment. I think this is going to be the series where managers are going to say, what are we doing?
Now, here's the reality. Now, it seems like it's been weak behind Aaron Judge when he has walked. I haven't done you've done the entire analysis on what the guys behind Aaron Judge are hitting throughout the season, but I'm just looking at specifically when Aaron Judge walks.
Right.
Not a As of late, there have been some intentional walks, but most of them are just walks. He's got a good eye. And interestingly, before these last this last week, I haven't recalculated, they were hitting like...
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
380 behind him. So even though it feels like when he walks, nobody was doing anything behind him, they actually are hitting pretty well behind him. And there's a few home runs to boot there. So I feel like there's decent protection, but not threat protection behind Aaron.
Yeah, I think it's marginal protection. Because right now, when you look at this Yankee lineup, they have a bunch of decent to good hitters. But they don't have anybody that you fear. In fact, the only guy in this lineup that I would say, and this is why if you ask me, all right, what are you going to do? If the Yankees aren't able to acquire a big bat to protect Aaron Judge, who ultimately should protect Aaron Judge, ultimately the answer is Giancarlo Stanton.
I agree.
Now, that's mostly October Giancarlo Stanton.
Right? Well, he finally hit a home run.
He did.
He was a donut.
And that was a big one because it got him right back in the game.
Right.
But ultimately, I'm thinking as an opponent. I'm thinking as an opposing manager, as an opposing fan. That's the guy in this lineup more so than Goldie, who's older. He had a good day yesterday, but he's cooled off over the last month.
Yep.
More so than Cody, more so than Jazz, more so than anybody. The guy that would put some fear in my mind is Giancarlo Stanton. Now, that is also putting the righties together, which isn't an ideal because Boone, of course, wants to split the righties and the lefties up. But that's the one guy who I think twice about walking King Judge in front of.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, teams aren't going to face him.
No.
He is an outworldly player right now. And it's interesting. You look at these three games. What's really jumped out at me is it's not just that they aren't facing him. It's that John Schneider took the book and threw it away. And he said, I'm going to break every rule known to man. And just to give you a historical perspective on this, King Judge has been intentionally walked 22 times this season.
Yep.
Now, let's not compare it to Barry Bonds. That's crazy, and that'll never be matched. How about we just compare it to Yankee history? Yankees have had some great sluggers. Babe Ruth was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Mantle was pretty good. Joe DiMaggio was pretty good. They had some good players. He's only six away from breaking the all-time single-season intentional walk record. King Judge.
Yeah.
He's going to break it by August.
Right.
If they keep playing the Blue Jays, he'd break it by next week. And that record is held, if you care, by Babe Ruth.
Right.
And it was prior to Lou Gehrig getting there. Obviously, once Lou's there, intentionally walking Babe Ruth became maybe not the greatest idea.
Right. But you need someone who's going to consistently get hits and get on base and every now and then run into a home run. But I don't think it's a superstar to me. It's just someone who's consistent behind him. Now, maybe that is Giancarlo Stanton. And by the way, I like Stanton behind him because Stanton, if you have to put balls over the plate, eventually he's gonna kill you. When you have to continually put balls over the plate because you can't afford to walk him again. So to me, the current situation is Stanton. But there definitely needs to be a move made with this Yankees team. And this goes back to the conversation we had yesterday about their third base situation with Jazz playing third and DJ playing second. Mm-hmm. They're inferior. Defensively, they're compromised at both of those positions. Might as well get one right and then do something at third base.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
And that'll improve the lineup.
100%
will improve. It won't fix this issue, but it will make them better.
It'll fix defensively what has been a little bit of an issue for a lot of this season.
Yeah, look, they lost yesterday's game, and it's frustrating on a lot of levels. A part of me, if I'm a Yankee fan, would be thrilled that they came back.
Yeah, but they lost this game early. They lost this game in the first inning.
You can say that, but right. Then they came back and tied the game dramatically.
True.
So
true.
That game had the potential.
Yeah, but they gave up 7 runs. I mean, come on.
Know what that game reminded me of? That game reminded me of a fictitious game in my head from Sunday. On Sunday, the Mets fell behind the Pirates really early.
Yeah.
And I confidently went on Twitter and said, you know what? They're down 5-0 in the first inning. This is the kind of game the Mets come back in. Mm-hmm. They win and they turn their season around. Obviously, I was very wrong. That was yesterday's Yankee game. Like, they're getting blown out. We're all like, ah, God, they're going to lose 3 straight to the Blue Jays. And then they slowly and methodically come back. Make it a game, but they're still trailing, and then dramatically tie the game in the 8th inning. And every single Yankee fan, every single one of them, unless they're lying, thought that when King Judge hit that laser beam 2-run home run, mm-hmm. when John Schneider forgot his own rules in walking King Aaron Judge, we all thought the Yankees won the game.
Yeah, and then Devin Williams decided to come be Devin Williams.
Well,
yeah, and stupendous job by Boone bringing Austin Wells in the pinch run and then not putting him behind the plate.
There's a few things about this. So the Devin Williams situation. If you remember the George Springer stolen base, so Devin yeah. Williams walking George Springer with one out and nobody on is a death sentence in the bottom of the 8th inning. You can't put that lead run on with a walk. And that's the thing that sometimes kills Devin Williams, mm-hmm. right? So he walks him.
Right.
And George Springer, who's basically gone to the time machine in this series, he's become old George Springer, who's been awesome, right away steals second base. There's something very underrated that I'd like to whine and bitch about. And even though I'm sitting here wearing my Mets floppy hat, this whining and bitching will show you that I'm a fair, fair person. The pitch he ran on was a strike. And the home plate umpire missed the call.
Hmm.
And with the count 1-0 and a runner on second, do you remember what Aaron Boone did? Do you remember what he did?
I don't remember.
He intentionally walked Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
He did.
If the pitch was correctly called a strike, does he intentionally walk Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? The answer is probably not.
No.
Because everything changes when the count is 0-1 versus 1-0. So I thought that was a very underrated missed call. But as far as Devin Williams screwing up, yeah, he didn't throw strikes. And then you had Ben Rice not knowing how to block a ball in the dirt. And that sucks. But when they came back and tied that game, we all thought this was going to be the win that you put on the championship DVD and say, that's when it all turned. That's when we figured it out.
Why? Because it staves off the Blue Jays from taking or at least tying you for first place in the American League East. They still have flaws. I mean, they still have lost 13 of their last 19 games.
Who, the Yankees?
Yes.
Oh, no. It wasn't even about the Blue Jays. To me, coming back from a game in which you're down 8-0 and rallying and winning in dramatic fashion feels like a game that just turns your season, just flips it. So it's not even about the Blue Jays or what would have happened in the standings last night versus today. That's the kind of win. And sometimes it doesn't work out this way, Teak. I admit it.
Right.
But in the moment, I'm just being honest with you. In the moment, that felt like the kind of win where you say, everything's going to be fine now. Now, that's not always the case, but it felt that way. And unfortunately, it turned into a loss. But there's a lot of lessons from last night. And I think the biggest is managers are going to copycat John Schneider. They're not facing this guy. Aaron Judge is too good. And for a King Aaron Judge is too good. And for anybody out there that whines about it and says, oh, well, that's boring. That's not baseball. No, that is baseball.
It's exactly baseball.
That's what the sport is. Like, it is the one sport, and it's great and it stinks all at the same time, where you can identify a great player and say, I'm taking him out of the game. It's very difficult to do that in the NFL. I mean, you can do it against a running back like Tiki and say, I'm going to stack the box. You can send doubles on a great wide receiver, but can you really take a great quarterback out of the game? And the answer is not really.
No, you can't take a great basketball player out of the game. You can try to trap him, but right. he's still going to shoot from the logo, and sometimes he's going to make them.
But in baseball, yes, you can take a great player out of a game. And I think what we are seeing, and I've been screaming it all year, so this isn't new for me. Last night was just the evidence that there is a manager who's got the guts to do it, is to say, I'm identifying that player and saying, I'm not going to let him beat me. And I would fully expect that every other manager is going to follow it. And the question is, can the Yankees overcome that? And the question is, okay, if managers are going to do that, what's the chess game back? Like, to me, the chess game back, I'm sorry, I know I've said it a lot, but I really believe it, is to lead him off. That's my chess game back. Fine, he's leading off games now. And think about how it changes things last night. First of all, you're going to start the game by putting the leadoff man on base? Fine, go ahead.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Right.
My chances of scoring greatly increase. Here's the other thing. When that game ended, it ended with Ben Rice popping up with Aaron Judge on deck. And this goes back to a very simplistic point, but it's a true point. If you lead off, you get more plate appearances. Sometimes it's like basic Sesame Street stuff. You do. And last night's a great example of it. If Aaron Judge is the leadoff hitter, he gets an extra plate appearance. Would you like Aaron Judge to bat more, Sean?
I would, but I think it's completely flawed.
Why is it flawed?
Because the Yankees' bottom of the order sucks, Evan. And Aaron Judge, more times than not, is now coming up without Ben Rice on in front of him with Anthony Volpe, who can't get on base to save his life, in front of him. And there will be less runs produced as a result. So, yes, you're right. More at-bats, but less run opportunities
right.
to produce.
Aaron Judge's home run in the eighth inning is now just, it leaves you a run short.
Exactly.
They're not facing him. Like, do you understand that?
Right.
So, nobody
so in
the chance that they do.
What was that?
In the off chance that they do. You're going to face him because Ben Rice isn't on. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. And my alter to that is I would have my ninth place hitter be a high on base guy.
Okay,
I'd bat Trent Grisham or Ben Rice ninth. I would strongly consider that.
Trent Grisham shouldn't be playing right now.
If Trent Grisham is playing, obviously he's not, especially with the hotness of Jason Dominguez. But there are going to be days where he does play, especially days where Giancarlo doesn't play. That's why I believe my ninth place hitter would be a high on base guy. Now, you are taking plate appearances away from them, but you also are giving the top of the order more opportunities with guys on base.
Don't you think Lugie would be smiling right now?
Yeah, he's manipulating the Lugie Met plan.
Yeah, he's manipulating. He's not putting the star in the back end.
There's nothing to do with that.
You want Paul Goldschmidt?
The Paul Goldschmidts of the world.
I would never do that. You take
Who
your
are you
second.
Putting in?
I just told you, Trent Grisham or Ben Rice.
This is why I'm the future.
It's high on base guys. I've always thought that. And the guy who taught me that was Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa ended up beating his pitcher eighth and using someone else ninth to get more guys on base for Mark McGwire. And in a lot of ways, minus the steroids, Aaron Judge is Mark McGwire on steroids. You know what I mean? Like a better version, a healthier steroid.
Right. Just remember, your two solutions are, in theory, and I love Ben Rice, the two guys who out of this nine probably shouldn't be playing every day.
What do you mean?
Ben Rice and Grisham.
Right. So then it would probably be Austin Wells. I mean, there's an easy answer. It's not too good of a player because you don't want to take plate appearances from them, but you want to put someone who can get on base. Like, I think the worst hitter in your lineup should bat seventh, not ninth. Mm. Why would it be ninth?
Right, bury him in the middle of the back of the bottom of the lineup.
100%. And a lot of managers don't do it, but think about what I'm saying. Mm. Think about the words. Does it not make sense?
Of course it does.
Your ninth place hitter should at least get on base. He shouldn't be too good, because if he's too good, he should be towards the top of the order he gets more plate
appearances. There is a ridiculously deep algorithmic statistical analysis of that, it is never going to happen. And so until managers are told, statistically, this gives you an advantage, it's never going to happen.
Well, I'm telling you it should happen.
I'm not disagreeing
with
you.
And when we get back, I'll tell you specifically how it lined it up. Because you're right that Grisham and Rice don't play every day. When Austin Wells is healthy, Austin Wells, who has a pretty good eye and gets on base, who we toyed with leading off earlier this season, would actually make sense as a ninth place hitter. I think it's a complete waste to take crappy hitters and bat them ninth. For the point that you made. Because they're not getting on base in front of your best hitters. But the point is, the Yankees now have to try to manipulate the fact that managers are not going to want to face King Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right to not want to. The Mets are about to play them this weekend. I'll say it again. I said it to Mendy last time. He didn't listen to me. That's fine. And to his credit,
it didn't hurt him.
It worked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you make the wrong decision and it works. And sometimes you make the right decision and it doesn't work.
Well, just wait till the bullpen gets a hold of, or Aaron Judge, the king, gets a hold of the Mets bullpen.
That's if he's allowed to face him.
Let's hope. Just one final note. Yeah. I don't disagree with a lot of you said, but if Bellinger, Goldschmidt, Stanton, and Jazz Chisholm, none of those four are good enough to hit behind Aaron Judge, then what the hell are we not firing Brian Cashman for? Because they should have that solution already in place.
Well, you're not firing a general manager in the middle of July.
You're not firing him anywhere because he's a lifetime contract for the same mediocre, crappy Junes every year.
Well, when he goes and gets you a third baseman, then you'll be happy with him, right?
Bring it to win it.
I will be. Then rinse and repeat when they don't win a World Series.
What I would say to you, Sean, and you represent a lot of Yankee fans, let's wait till their season's over, and then we could reevaluate the fire Brian Cashman discussion.
Great.
But bringing it up now is a waste of time.
I'm just saying, you're bringing up that they don't have anybody to hit behind Judge. I gave you four guys that should be able to hit behind Judge that he put that roster together with.
No, I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing with you at all. Look, they miss Juan Soto.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not a troll. That's not me being a jerk. Like, they do. Because even though Boone didn't do it last year, the option of making Juan Soto the guy to protect Aaron Judge was always out there.
Right, but he never did protect Aaron Judge.
He never did it, but it sort of made sense at times to make that flip, but Boone never did it. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody will come back and get to your calls at 888-808-1019. And Sean has to answer a very difficult question, because I was kind of going back and forth about this last night, even asked Jed about it. Would you rather lose 11-0, or would you rather come back dramatically like the Yankees did, get all teased, get all excited, and then lose horribly 11-9? We'll get to it coming up. Plus, I will give you the Yankee lineup that I would institute and see if that kind of gives you the chance to avoid what I think managers are going to do to King Aaron Judge. Plus, we'll get to the Mets later on as well. It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. All right, I constructed the they're never going to face Aaron Judge, here's how I combat it lineup. I'm using the nine guys that Sean wants as the everyday Yankees, so no Ben Rice, unfortunately for Ben, who will play once in a while, especially when Giancarlo gets an off day.
Mm-hmm.
Or now you mix him in as a backup catcher, even though he can't block balls in the dirt. But hey, guess what? At least he's not getting called for catcher's interference every day like J.C. Ascara. So here's what I would do. And I'm preparing myself that after I'm so happy with my lineup and I present it to Tiki, he is irrationally going to say, that's just Tommy's idea. When it's not at all like Tommy's idea.
Right.
Aaron Judge leads off. Jazz 2, Giancarlo 3, Cody 4, Goldie 5. All right. Then I dip down to DJ and Volpe. Get him out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And my 8-9 hitters are Austin Wells, Jason Dominguez, back to the top of the order. And the reason I put those guys at the bottom is because, like you said, I want to try to get guys on base in front of King Judge while still maintaining King Judge getting the most plate appearances and also guaranteeing he's starting every game. You want to walk him? Fine. Lead off man on, nobody out. Here's Jazz and Giancarlo.
Yeah, I kind of starting to get some faith, though, in Jason Dominguez.
But it's not a knock on Jason Dominguez. I like my ninth place hitter to get on base.
No, I hear you, but it also feels like you're punishing him in some way.
It's not. You know what it is? It's actually the next step, once you prove you're getting on base enough as a ninth place hitter, is to become the leadoff.
Right, because he hit seventh last night.
Yeah, but if you hit him ninth, the guy coming up next is Aaron Judge. So you may risk losing a plate appearance or two based on batting down in the order, but I look at the ninth place spot as my second leadoff spot.
Right, because he's still a young player. He doesn't, who cares if his feelings are hurt type of thing.
Yeah, he has no feelings.
Right, and then you explain to him why you're doing it, and it makes sense. I actually kind of like it.
Thank you. The weird thing is Austin Wells, because I said to you, Sean, boy, Austin Wells would be the perfect guy. One of the big drops from Wells last year to Wells this year is he's not walking.
Right.
And it doesn't really make any sense. Like last year, he walked 11% of the time, which is well ahead of the league average. It's cut in half. Like he does not draw walks anymore. Otherwise, if he's walking 10, 11% of the time, he'd be another perfect guy to put in that nine hole.
No, that's a good point. I don't know what's happened with Wells this year. He's kind of escaped criticism big time, but he has been a disappointment. If Anthony Volpe wasn't on this team, I think he'd be getting a lot more hate.
And that's a weird drop. Like, your average dropping, your power dropping, fine. Like, why are you walking significantly less? How do you go from a plus I get on base guy to being like a negative? That doesn't usually happen. If you're an on-base guy, you're an on-base guy.
Maybe it's an anomaly.
What?
I don't get it.
Anomaly?
The thing where it's like rare at times.
Oh, anomaly.
I thought he was doing a double entendre.
No, what is it?
Anomaly.
Maybe it's an anomaly.
He had me so fooled I thought it was some kind of play on Austin Wells' name.
I was like,
what
did
I say, anomaly?
It's like, wait, is his mom involved somehow?
No, anomaly.
Anomaly. Yeah, you really confused me because you said it so like succinctly that I thought it was intentional.
Yes. That's what I thought. I thought it was an intentional Seanism.
Yes.
You had us fooled.
No.
Let's go to John in Hackensack on this beautiful 4th of July preview. My screen is not working, so you may have to hit John in Hackensack for me.
What up, John?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Happy 4th.
Appreciate you.
What's up,
likewise,
man?
All right, Evan, I like your lineup idea, except it's got a major flaw.
Yeah?
In the 8th inning, like let's say it's the 8th inning, you got 9-1-2 due up.
Yes.
Easy lane for a lefty reliever to go in there. You pitch to Dominguez on the right side, intentional walk Judge, and then you face Jazz with a lefty. Easiest matchup of all time.
So let's flip-flop Jazz and Giancarlo. Let's go righty back-to-back. Yeah. Want to do that?
That's fine. Or if you trade for like a Suarez, you put him there. A big righty bat who can damage lefties. That gets-
well, I mean, the biggest thing to do, the easiest thing to do is to trade for Suarez.
Well, that makes this lineup deeper because 100%. Right now you got a deal. No matter how you line it up, Anthony Volpe and DJ LeMahieu exist. And right now they're negatives.
Yes.
So if you can replace one of them in the order, specifically DJ, with a guy like Eugenio Suarez, all of a sudden the lineup's a lot deeper.
Yeah, and the other reason Stanton fails there or in the 8th inning, he'll likely have been pinch run for by then.
That's true. You got to keep that in mind.
You need Peraza hitting behind Judge late in the game and extras or anything?
Here's the good thing. The good thing is the Yankees now have a deepish bench. So if you're pinch running for him, and remember he's the DH, with a speedster like Peraza, the next time that spot comes up, as long as you've held off on using Ben Rice,
right,
he's available to be that bat off the bench. Let's go to Kyle in New Jersey. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Kyle. This is me. I got a question. I think we got to take Anthony Volpe. He's throwing balls beyond third base, and he's throwing balls to the first he's not supposed to. I think there's three players that we should trade for, and the name is Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
IKF. IKF.
Get him back in New York.
Sean, do you want IKF back?
I'm going to take a deep breath.
I was going to say, I saw your facial reaction. We're not on TV yet, so they couldn't see it.
Would I take IKF as a piece off the bench to deepen the bench? Mm-hmm. Sure. Would I take IKF as the solution to this infield? Absolutely not. And if Anthony Volpe's become that putrid that IKF is the answer to replace him, again, I come back for the third time this hour, fire Brian Cashman.
Think about this. And I'm not using you because I don't know your opinion on this. I think I do, and it may not follow the point I'm making. But in general, Yankee fans hear the name Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and they have that reaction. Mm-hmm. I don't want him. But if you bring up his teammate, Ke'Bryan Hayes, there's more of an openness. There's more of a, oh, okay, we'll bring him in.
Devil that you don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a few things.
That's exactly what it is.
It's the devil you don't know is 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, well, he's Charlie's son. You know, we love Charlie Hayes. He got the final out in the 96 World Series. But if you looked at Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's stats this season and Ke'Bryan Hayes' stats, what if I told you they're basically the same, except IKF's a little bit better? Which is the truth.
It wouldn't shock
Bring
me.
Him in.
IKF's not a bad baseball player to have on your team. That's just not a solution to solving what their issues
are. He's not an everyday solution. I think that's what was being suggested there, is the everyday solution at shortstop is IKF now. DFA Volpe or trade him. Right,
so, that's not the guy.
I agree with
you. No, you're right. It's just not the guy. He's a good utility piece, and I think the appeal probably of Ke'Bryan Hayes, besides his name, is even though he's 28, it's not like he's 23 years old.
Yeah,
it's this
not a prospect,
idea
right.
of if you bring him to a new location, could things change? Like, and we do this a lot with guys. And there's a bunch of candidates for stuff like that. Josh Jung in Texas would be a guy who you're like, ah, you know what, bring him here to New York. Maybe things change. The other one, and we talked about this off air, I'll bring it up on air, is Brett Baty. Like, wouldn't Brett Baty make sense in a New York Yankee jersey? Give him the short porch, give him a new environment.
What do you want?
What would I want?
What do you want?
Devin Williams.
What do you want from Brady?
Devin Williams.
Done.
Well, we need more than Baty, but yeah.
No, excuse me. Your general manager just accepted.
Well, that's the problem. We already have one crappy general manager in town. We don't need a second one.
Wait, so you would
suck right now.
Who else do you want, Sean?
Well, I'm
talking to my consultant.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
My president of baseball
operations. I'm
going to
need a bullpen arm, but one, you know they're weak in the bullpen, too. Give me a Dednell Nunez, because I will buy the stock on that he will rebound.
Yeah, he's under team control. Why not?
You know,
Dednell Nunez, Brett Baty for Devin Williams.
No.
No?
No.
We could get more for Devin Williams elsewhere, right. So I'll take it or leave it. Okay.
Somebody's going to want him.
Of course I would.
You realize your bullpen sucks right now, right?
You realize you don't have a third baseman or a second baseman right now, and Brett Beatty's a young lefty bat who's got huge potential?
What's likely to hurt you more, not having a bullpen or not having a bat at third base?
I mean, I'll tell you right now, watching this team all year, maybe the bat at third base. I mean, their offense is underachieved all year. The risk-reward, though, is Devin Williams is a rental. He's a free agent at the end of the season.
Yes.
And Brett Beatty's under team control for a few more years. So if you're the Yankees, here's the problem with this trade, in all seriousness. The Mets actually could afford to do it because, Ronnie Mauricio.
Yes.
All right, Mark Vientos. Like, there are other options and say, okay, if one guy can click, if Vientos can figure out his form from last year, we're all good. The Yankee bullpen, and I've said this to you for a while, is a problem. And Devin Williams, despite last night, I get it, it's on him last night, and Ben Rice, Devin Williams is one of the answers. Like, look at your bullpen right now.
He had a bad night.
You can't afford to trade him.
Well, no, you're right. He had a bad night because the problem with the Yankee fan is that you know you're not re-signing him. This regard to Devin Williams.
I don't know if that's true, T. First of all, you know why I got to stop you there?
Why?
Luke Weaver's a free agent, too.
Of course he is. But if you have the choice between right now, as we sit in the middle of the beginning of July, I think most Yankee fans will say, give me Luke Weaver on a middle long-term deal, whatever it is, over Devin Williams. Because you just don't trust that. First of all, you don't know Devin Williams.
But hold
and
on.
You don't trust him right now.
I got to disagree. I don't disagree that Yankee fans would say that. So I think you're representing them well.
Right.
I disagree with them and you in this regard. Luke Weaver is 31 years old.
I understand
and
that.
Didn't become a good reliever till last year. Devin Williams is one of the best closers in baseball.
But he gave you a moment. Luke Weaver did.
Okay.
And you believed in him, and he delivered. And then for the most part, it's until his injury this year, he's done that as well.
Well, what's he done since he's come back? I mean, think about it. He came back. He blew the game against the...
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Blue Jays.
He did. He had a bad moment.
So,
right. Absolutely.
So Luke Weaver, who's been
and
a
how
good,
many has Devin Williams had?
I get it, but Devin Williams has more of a track record than Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver's track
does
record
he?
Is yes.
Yeah, Devin Williams' track record is not as long as you think it is either. Hader was a closer for a long time
that's
in Milwaukee.
Right. That it's not about if he's a Hall of Famer. It's that it's a longer track record than Luke Weaver. That's not even debatable.
Okay. No, of course it's not. But the question Sean I think is bringing up correctly is how good is he ever going to really be?
How good is Luke Weaver ever going to be?
I don't. I feel it's again. This is the devil you know versus the one you don't.
Right.
We have no idea. Luke Weaver's been a closer for a half a minute.
That's my right? point.
He's just figuring out where the cream is to put in his coffee right now.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know. But we kind of have seen what Devin Williams is.
All I'm saying to you is I can't assume they're definitely not re-signing him. Mm. It's not like they already have a closer locked in long term. And that's the other problem. Like, when we rank Yankee issues and Met issues, and they all have issues. They have multiple issues, which makes it complicated.
Right. Evan,
the Yankee bullpen's an issue.
By the way, you're right here.
Thank you.
But all I'm talking about is from a fan sentiment standpoint. The Yankee fan trusts Luke Weaver because they saw him do it last year more than they do Devin Williams.
Mike is calling from Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First-time caller. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, man.
I heard you talk about rather losing 11-0 or coming back and losing in that fashion.
Yes. Yes.
I think you got to look at it as a couple perspectives. As a fan, an emotional standpoint, I think I'd rather just lose 11-0. You can chalk it up, move on to the next game instead of going through that emotional, you know, ups and down there. As a team perspective, I would look at it as, you know, we could take some positives from coming back, making it a 9-9 game. You can actually take something from that game. So I think you have to look at it either as a fan or as a team perspective. But as a fan, I would never want to, you know, go through those emotional ups and downs. And the last thing I want to comment about is Igor Shesterkin's the king of New York until Aaron Judge could do something in the playoffs.
I mean, what the hell has Igor really done in the postseason?
You know what? And I'm a big Ranger
More
fan.
Than Judge.
Yeah. No, he is not. Get lost with that. Igor isn't even a pimple on Henrik Lundqvist's ass at this point, too. You want to make all that money? You go shut down. They shouldn't have to go spend as much money on defensemen if he was that size. I've had it.
This is in Henrik's day. Like, if it was Henrik Lundqvist still around, I could understand that. He was the goalie of a team that went to the Cup Final and how many Game 7s they won. But Igor Shesterkin hasn't done that. And
no.
If we're judging it based on playoff
performances,
if we're judging it based on playoff performances, then the king is Jalen Brunson. I mean, we go back to the argument that we initially had.
No, it's not.
If we're really banking it on postseasons...
He had too many disappearing acts versus the Pacers. Didn't we end this?
This has already been codified into law. Let's stop debating it. There is no debate. The floor is closed.
There is only one thing I do want to
add. No filibuster is allowed.
You're right. I can't pull off Hakeem Jeffries' 8.5-hour filibuster, though I would try.
That's a week.
I know. Seriously, 8.5 hours?
Give me Cory Booker any day.
Well, back in the 1870s, they'd go like 39 hours.
Because they had to.
That's right.
I think Cory broke it.
I think he did. Ted Cruz did it for a while, too.
He did.
I think he was reading from a book. Either way, the one thing I will add on the King debate is I've just been notified by the official accountant of the Evan and Tiki program that Sean Morash has referred to King Aaron Judge today without the King name 4 times.
Excellent.
So that's $4 more into the pot for him.
Whatever.
I apologize. I said that wrong. Sean has only done it once.
Okay.
So $1 in the pot. Mm. Tiki has done it 4 times.
That's right.
So right now, the grand total of fines for not correctly referring to the king as king is I owe $15.
Mm-hmm.
Sean owes $11. Tiki owes $6. And Tommy Lugauer, not here today, owes a single dollar.
So we've referred to King Aaron Judge as king way more before he was named king than after.
Yeah, we're struggling.
Yes. This is the first time that we've had a real conversation about King Aaron Judge.
Exactly.
He's the topic of our talk.
And the team stinks right now, so when you're in good, happy mood, you're more likely to call him king.
That's true.
Well, I mean, he actually was kingly last night.
Oh, he definitely was.
But they
you know
stink.
What? Actually, the real king of New York has become Anthony Volpe, because if he wasn't from here, he'd be working at Starbucks.
I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it's as simple as Cashman's loyal to the prospect he believes is going to be a star. Do you guys remember, and I'd have to find the audio. I should try to find it and replay it. But about a year ago, Brian Cashman was involved in a very, I guess it was like kind of a big back and forth with some of the beat reporters at the winter meetings about Anthony Volpe.
No, I don't remember this.
And Cashman got hot and was like, all right, well, you know what? If he doesn't become what I think he is, then you could tell me I'm wrong. Like, it was a very defensive conversation. And I think it was either a year ago or 2 years ago. That's how time doesn't like mean anything in my head anymore.
Right.
A year, 2 years, same thing. But Brian, you have it already, Robbie? What, was it a year ago or 2 years ago?
I want to say it was the end of his rookie season.
Okay, so two seasons ago. So yeah. Here's Brian Cashman in a defensive back and forth with reporters concerning Anthony Volpe. Let's take a listen and hear how this aged.
Let's see. So Volpe ends up crushing it this year. Are you going to be like, hey, I guess their development system does produce hitters?
I've reviewed the movies in front of me. The movies this year weren't good.
Okay,
next year we'll have a different discussion.
All right, right? And then I can hear you say, you know what? Remember last year? I look forward to that. Yep. I look forward to you telling me that when Volpe crushes it offensively this year for us, that you'll say, hey, man, I guess your development program did a good job. And it was just sea legs under him his first maiden voyage year with not much triple Anders belt.
Wow. Yeah. That's almost uncalled.
Whoever that reporter is that Joel Sherman?
That was Joel Sherman.
So Joel Sherman, please go take that audio that we just played. If you missed it, you can find it on the podcast or rewind on the Odyssey app and take that directly to Cashman and say, Cash, I think we have a conversation that we need to have.
I tweeted it 2 hours ago. That's how I knew where it was.
Oh, nice. Good job.
Nice.
Fantastic. Good job.
Did you tag Joel Sherman?
I did not.
Oh, come on. Tweet it right now.
Here's
Joel Sherman back on.
Here's the problem. I know Brian Cashman and Sean Morash are very similar. When they're backed into a corner, and clearly based on that audio, you would think that Brian Cashman's backed into a corner.
Yeah.
You pivot. That's how you get away with it. So remember, at the beginning of that conversation, they're talking specifically about player development. Like, basically, Joel Sherman is saying, hey, your player development program sucks.
Right.
Like, outside of Aaron Judge, what have you done? And so Volpe, of course, became the big name. The way Cashman would pivot on this is, well, what about Austin Wells last year? What about Jason Dominguez this year? He would mention other guys. Even the development, I know he's not a young player, of Luke Weaver. Hey, we developed him into a pretty good reliever.
Or Ben Rice.
And so the way out of this argument, as much as you guys, and I do not blame you as Yankee fans, to hear that and say, yeah, Brian, admit you're wrong, you loser. It's a very easy pivot to him distracting you with other guys that they're proud of that they develop.
And then the easy pivot back is, but Brian, we're talking about Anthony Volpe, who you refused to trade in big trades. He was untouchable, and you refused to sign Corey Seager because he was untouchable. We weren't talking about Ben Rice and Luke Weaver then.
I get you. I think the direct question to Brian Cashman.
You can tell I'm pissed off.
I know I can tell. The direct question to Brian Cashman, and hopefully we'll have him on around the trade deadline. This is exactly how I'll ask it, and it'll be quick. Because when you ask a quick question, sometimes they don't have time to think about it. Is Anthony Volpe a disappointment?
Really bad.
That's it. And just answer the question. Mm. Is he a disappointment? And Brian Cashman, who I know you're mad at him right now, Sean, and I get it. The criticisms of his moves are all fair game. What I really respect about Brian Cashman is he's very honest. Like, sometimes brutally honest. And I kind of have a feeling that his answer to that question is going to be, yeah.
Unwatchable.
Wow.
I think his answer is going to be, yeah. Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Okay, so then the follow-up is, then what are you going to do about it?
What do you want to do about it? Like, I get it. It's a great follow-up, but to you and to anyone else out there, as annoyed as we are with him, what do you want to do?
Honestly,
give me an answer.
You were right about something 2 weeks ago. I'm playing Peraza because at least I could trust his defense, and I'm sitting Volpe down, even if it's a fake IL stint, until after the All-Star break. I don't want to give up on him completely, but clearly just running him out there every day or sitting him on a one-off versus the Baltimore Orioles is not working.
224, 9 home runs, 44 RBIs, a 707 OPS. We all agree it's disappointing. Can you read Oswald Peraza's numbers
it's
now?
Terrible. It's terrible.
It's worse.
But did you hear what I said?
You just got worse.
I understand that.
No, but I'm just... That's the problem with this.
But I'm getting better defensively.
Is that enough to offset going from a 700 OPS and 9 home runs to what Peraza's done?
Because if the reset for 2 weeks or so, somehow, you got to take a chance at fixing the kid. He's not going to fix it just by going out there and playing every day.
By the way, something is
mentally broken.
The numbers for Oswald Peraza, 157 batting
He's
average
terrible.
With a 506 OPS.
He is terrible offensively. I'm not telling you that's your solution to fix him long term. My point is, I don't know how to save Anthony Volpe, but I know that playing him every day right now is not saving him. It is sinking him further.
I get you. I just think that right now there aren't better options, so I'll tell you what I would do. You didn't ask me, but I'll tell you anyway. I would treat him like the pitcher spot late in games, and I would aggressively pinch hit for him.
Mm.
I would. I've got guys on my bench. There are days Goldie doesn't play. There's days Ben Rice doesn't play.
That doesn't fit the narrative, though.
But his defense is killing him before then.
That's true.
That's the problem.
Second or first, they're leading in errors and shortstops in the American League right now. So it doesn't fit the narrative that we've made about Anthony Volpe.
Well, because he was a good defensive player who's gone backwards.
Right. Defensive regression, as well as not being able to hit. It sounds very familiar to Francisco Alvarez.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes.
And Alvarez got sent down, but I think a part of why the Mets sent him down
because his approach was messed up.
Well, I think, but more so than that, a very basic thing is the Mets determined, and they were right, that Luis Torrens every day gives us a better option on an everyday basis than Francisco Alvarez. And so once they determine there's actually somebody on the roster, not that he's great, because he's not, clearly. He's a backup catcher. I've been saying it forever about Torrens. But he's a better option than Alvarez, then it became easy. There is no better option right now on the Yankees roster than Anthony Volpe. And that's a horrible answer. I know that sucks. You don't want to hear it. Right. It's true. It just is. Like, sometimes in baseball, we get so mad at players. We talk about cutting them or DFAing them or sending them down. And then we get the cold, hard reality of, uh-oh, well, someone else has to play. Like, you hate Paul Blackburn? Who's making the start instead of him? I mean, a prospect, which actually sounds really appealing. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
And so the problem with Volpe is that. Great. Send him down. Great. You bench him.
Yeah, but
now you're playing a 150 hitter.
But maybe sitting him 2 weeks, comes back, you play that 150 hitter, then suddenly the fans lay off Anthony Volpe and you deal with his 220 average because you're like, oh, wow, this is a lot better and we've improved.
Can't make decisions based on the fans, Sean, or you'll end up sitting with them.
You know what? It's a good point, except the fans have been more right about this Yankee team than Brian Cashman has the last 3 years, like it or not.
We'll get back to your calls next at 888-808-1019 and why competing for the American League East and the National League East, which we have circled as so important for both the Mets and the Yankees, it's actually losing its importance. We'll explain why.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.